Today, we're blessed and thankful to have another Pastor Adam, Pastor Adam Taylor. Pastor Adam was ordained in the ELCA in 2017. Before his ordination, he worked as a chaplain for both the Ohio Army National Guard and the OSU Medical Center. He served as pastor for the First Lutheran Church of Galion from 2017 until 2021. In August of this year, Adam returned to school full-time to study law at OSU. So we're thankful for Adam and his willingness to help us out in our time of need here. So thank you very much. No more announcements from me. At this time, we'll continue on with the service.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me this morning. I would be remiss if I didn't share a little story that I shared last night. When I first got to the Synod, I met your Pastor Adam, and as it was, having two Pastor Adams got awful confusing, and we could have just gone by last names, but we're clergy and we like theology puns, and so everyone always called past your Pastor Adam the old Adam, and I was the new Adam, if we remember our story in Genesis. And so when Pastor Adam is feeling better and getting around the office, make sure to welcome him back as the old Pastor Adam. I'm sure he'll enjoy that. So please stand as you are able as we begin worship with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. And the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for Christ's sake, God forgives all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sing our first hymn.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Let us pray. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by the brooks of the water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalms responsively. Please read the bold print. When the Lord restored fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. A reading from Hebrews. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then those for the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which comes later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As some of you are now aware, I don't get to preach much these days. After serving at First Lutheran for some time, I had decided to go back to law school. But this is how I know that the Holy Spirit is still very much alive and well. Since August, this is only my second time preaching, and as you know, this wasn't really planned. The last time I preached was a few weeks ago. And the gospel was the rich man asking Christ how he might enter heaven. Many of us can remember Christ's troubling words. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." I talked about that text with a friend that I met in law school, and his very helpful advice was, "Good luck talking about money, lawyer man." At that point, I thought the Holy Spirit might be playing a little prank on me. But I thought that was it. I thought that was all it was going to be. And then today, only my second time preaching since August, I get the gospel text for today. The blind beggar asking Jesus for sight. And I realized that these two stories are parallel. Something that I might not have realized if I didn't preach them back to back. And again, I say the Holy Spirit is alive and well. If you don't see it immediately, the comparison's not obvious, but as you start to dig into the scripture, the gospel writers are inviting us to wrestle with some very interesting questions as we juxtapose these two stories. If it wasn't for the weird situation that I find myself in, I might have missed it myself. As a refresher from the gospel a few weeks ago, we have the story of a rich man asking Jesus about eternal life. Jesus, on his journey, found a man who ran up to him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father." The man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all of these commandments since my youth." And Jesus again looked at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will receive treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving because he had many possessions. Again, these comparisons might not be that obvious, but as we walk through the stories, we have some difficult questions to wrestle with. In both stories, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will ultimately die and be resurrected. Now, there's a lot to unpack in just that alone, but it is enough for us today that Jesus was on a journey. Jesus was on a journey sharing his ministry, sharing the gospel, and he was interrupted by two distinctly different men. For the rich man interrupts Jesus without a word of protest. He runs up to Jesus and exclaims, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It seems pretty straightforward. Everything seems kind of normal. As we read the gospel, Jesus gets interrupted a lot in his ministry. But what's the difference in our story today? What can we see differently in our story? For the blind beggar, he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And unlike the rich man, the beggar's words are not welcome. Many in the crowd around him sternly order him. That's what the writer says, ordered him. Like they had some power to silence him. Many in the crowd ordered him to be quiet. But nevertheless, he persisted. Right from the start of our stories, what questions are we invited to struggle with? Who has the right to speak in our community? Who do we fail to question when they tell us something? And at the same time, who do we admonish? Who do we tell to quiet down? Or even worse, who do we silence, either explicitly or implicitly? Who does not have a seat at our table? Who do we think is annoying when we gather together? These are difficult questions. But the story keeps going. The second comparison looks at the questions that our protagonists ask. In the first interaction, what does the rich man ask for? "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" In our story for the day, what does the beggar ask for? "Son of David, have mercy on me." For the rich man, his response to Christ, "Teacher, I have kept all of the commandments since my youth." The beggar's response to Christ, "My teacher, let me see." As we read these stories together, we get more little difficult questions. And I have to ask myself, where does my strength come from? The rich man, who has accumulated wealth and power, what is his concern? What must I do? What must I accomplish? How can I leverage my power, my wealth, to get what I want? Look at all the great things I have done. I have kept the commandments. And at the same time, what does the beggar, son of David, please have mercy. Jesus Christ, please have compassion. Show me your grace and love. Lend me your strength. Teacher, Rabbi, grant me your strength so that I might see again. These are our questions. Who do we listen to? Who do we silence? Where does our strength come from? Do we focus on what we can give to the world or what Christ can give to us? Do we search for Christ? Do we rely on Christ's strength? Our story is not yet over. What instructions does Christ give to these two distinct men? To the confident rich man, Jesus says, "Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come and follow me. Take your pride, take your wealth, take your confidence, and give it away, and come and follow me." At the same time, Jesus tells the beggar, "Go, your faith has made you well." Jesus' instructions to the beggar might seem a lot shorter than those to the rich man, but what we might miss is what the beggar has already done. At the moment that Christ calls the beggar forward, the beggar runs to Christ, but he throws away his coat. He left his coat and left it behind. The beggar has already given up everything of value that he owns. The beggar has already left his comfort and security. The beggar already gave up his possessions. Recognizing that the beggar has already done this, Jesus' instructions for him are a little different. Go. Your faith has made you well. Again, we're asked to wrestle with a difficult question. What are we willing to sacrifice in order to follow Christ? What are we willing to do in order to engage in ministry? These are the questions that I invite you to think about this morning. Who do we listen to? Where does our strength come from? And what are we willing to do to engage in ministry? And these questions do not have easy answers. Struggling with these questions throughout our lives is part of what makes us Christians. It's part of our Christian discipleship. And these questions don't have easy answers, and I'm not in the profession of giving out answers, as much as I might like to. But I might have some helpful clarifications. First, Jesus' instruction to both the rich man and the beggar start with the same simple word, go. Go, sell your possessions. Go, your faith has made you well. Go. In the most simplified way, it is not about being perfect. Go. It is not about being perfect. It is about moving towards perfection. Go. For the rich man, for the beggar, and for us listening today, life is about moving towards perfection. Now let me be clear, very clear, or the old Adam might accuse me of some sort of heresy. I don't want to give the impression that I think we should or even could be perfect. That is not the point. I don't think any of us can really be perfect. We can move towards perfection. That is to say, we can move towards Christ, who is perfection. The goal is not the destination, but the journey. We are walking towards Jesus, and Jesus' invitation starts with a simple word, go. In our lives, we cannot be perfect. So do not make that your expectation. At the same time, that is not an excuse to throw up your hands and give up. The commandment for Christ is to go. So start your journey. Follow Christ wherever he might be leading you. Just because you cannot be perfect, just because you might make mistakes, just because you might get things wrong along the way, do not let that stop you. Because Christ's instruction is to go anyways. Allow yourself to make mistakes along the way. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you're having a bad day, even if you feel alone, tired, or stressed out, move towards Jesus. And that brings me to my second point. None of this happens in a vacuum. Jesus invites both the rich man and the poor beggar to follow him. At the same time, the poor beggar gives up everything he owns and actually follows Christ. All of life happens in our attempt to follow Christ, and we cannot follow Christ alone. If it was just one person following Christ, we'd have a much different story. If it was just one person following Christ, we wouldn't have ended up with four different gospels. If it was just one person following Christ, the story wouldn't be that noteworthy. But we follow Christ in a community. This means that we learn as a community. Jesus' invitation is to go, but do not go alone. Make mistakes as a community. Grow as a community. Learn as a community. I cannot stand up here and say that I have all of life's problems figured out. No amount of schooling could ever prepare me to do so. But I can stand up here and say that if we go, if we move towards Christ, I will be right there with you. That is part of the joy in being here this morning, is that even in times of need, as Pastor Sornchai was unable to be here, we are still able to gather as a community. I am still with you. He is still with you on this journey. And this brings me to my last point. These questions that we are invited to wrestle with this morning, they do not have easy answers. And it'd be too easy to lift up this false dichotomy between the rich man and the poor beggar. It is not that black and white. These are not yes or no questions. As you look at your life today, you will find yourself somewhere on a spectrum. It is not one person or the other. As we follow Christ, as we go into ministry, we are challenged with these questions. Who do we listen to? Where does our strength come from? And what are we willing to do in order to engage in ministry? And our answers are all going to be different. And even my answers are going to be different from day to day. We all live on a spectrum. On my best days, when I'm well fed and well rested, I can tell myself that I have a pretty good listening ear for those in my community. I can tell myself that I rely on Christ for everything. But those are easy answers when I am well fed and well slept. More often than not, especially these days, I am stressed, I am tired, I am over all of the little things that get in my way or annoy me. Do you ever have those days where you're just over all of it? On those days, I can be mean. Maybe not malicious, but in a way where I simply do not want to deal with other people. I can forget listening to others, even those in my community. I can let my faith take second place to all the other things that are clouding up around me, to all the things that I'd rather not engage with. And I don't think I'm alone in having these feelings from time to time. It's not as easy as saying that sometimes I am the rich man and sometimes I am the poor beggar. It is so much more complicated than that. It is the realization that Jesus is talking to me. And some days I listen. And other days I'd rather not. Some days I'd rather not wrestle with my faith or the difficult questions that come with it. We all find ourselves on that spectrum, but the good news this morning is that Jesus is sharing his ministry with us. That is where those stories begin today. That is where our story begins. Jesus is sharing his ministry with us. These might be difficult questions and they might be hard to wrestle with, but that is not where the story begins. The story begins with Jesus sharing his ministry with us. The point of these stories, if you take nothing else out of my message, is that Jesus comes to us. Jesus shares the invitation to come and follow him. And sometimes that invitation comforts us. But other times, that invitation might challenge us in ways that we might not want to deal with. But regardless of our action, Jesus is always there. This is where the story begins, and this is where the story will end. Jesus is on a journey to share his message, to share the good news of the gospel. And as a community, we can take part in that ministry. As a community, we can get through this life together. But regardless of what we do or fail to do, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The invitation starts with Jesus. Amen.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Set free from sin and death, and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all God's creation. Risen One, we give you thanks for congregations and ministries throughout the world that serve as centers of prayer and action. Empower missionaries, teachers, healers, evangelists, and all who are sent to share your song of joy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ministering One, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, Adam, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy One, we give you thanks for generous land that produces abundant harvests. Strengthen and protect all soils from rooftop gardens to prairie farmlands, to patio planters to fertile valleys, and bless all who lovingly tend them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ruling One, we give you thanks for the leaders of nations who work to build up the common good. Strengthen efforts of reconciliation among all nations that peace extends in every direction. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Healing One, we give you thanks for all who labor for the health of others. Comfort and strengthen all who struggle with chronic pain, sending healing and relief to all who are sick, especially Ray, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Timothy, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Eileen, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, the family of Grace Lewis, Sutton, Nola, Archer, John, Pastor Adam, Jessica, Lane, Lila, Alessandra, and Vincent Sorntag, Leah, and our homebound for all with COVID-19. We ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care. Hear us, O God. Providing One, we give you thanks for all who provide for others. Inspire generosity in all your people so that we carry out the work of making disciples of all nations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Watchful One, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Living One, we give you thanks for the saints who have increased our faith. Give us courage to follow in hope until you gather us all around your table of abundance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and life.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was formless and void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows and Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. And the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen." Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, you are majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of the tree of life with fruit for leaves, to heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let's pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please be seated. I invite our young worshipers forward for a blessing.
us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn.